Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
You've made iHeartRadio the fastest-growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio.
Replay.
That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save.
Save the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio, now on demand.
It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show. 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 It's the Benny Randall Show.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., aka The Motivator. And like always, you can reach me at BennyRandall.com, or you can reach us at our private community at BennyOnDemand.com. And we have another extraordinary show, as if all our shows are not extraordinary, they all are. And we got another powerful entrepreneur. He's a business attorney, passionate entrepreneur. He's been an entrepreneur since he was 18. Started over 8 companies across various industries, from food manufacturing, technology, e-commerce, and law. He's dedicated the last 12 years working exclusively with entrepreneurs from different backgrounds who needed his help in restructuring their business model, buttoning up legal contracts, protecting their assets, reducing risks and conflicts. He successfully restructured over 5,000 companies, ranging from startups to 100-plus-year-old franchise and everything in between. His unique ability to switch between legal and business owner and entrepreneur hats, which enables him to provide short-term and long-term, as well as practical business legal strategies guidance to his clients. Who am I speaking of? It's Sid Pedini. Did I say that right, Sid?
Pedini.
Pedini. Okay. Yeah, y'all know I chopped that up, so I just wanted to make sure he said it correct. I'm just calling Mr. Sid from here. But he's Attorney Sid, and thank you for being on the Benny Randall Show. How are you doing, my friend?
Thank you so much for having me, Benny. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing very well today. Thank you so much.
Let me tell you something. It is a pleasure to have you on, where we have tons of entrepreneurs who listen to this show. So, you know, we're going to have a great conversation today. It's just me, you, and about 2 million of my friends. All right? You good with that?
I look forward to it. It's an absolute pleasure.
So tell me, why did you decide to get in this part of the business? They call you the attorney for entrepreneurs. How did that come about?
You know, it's interesting you say that. So my journey into entrepreneurship actually started in 2000. I was about 18 years old, and it all stemmed from a workshop that I attended in Toronto from a very famous person. who talks about a story about the rich dad and the poor dad. I'm sure you guys know who I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
And so it's my interest stemmed from there about entrepreneurship for quadrants, and I made a decision that I'm going to get into business, and I wanted to be in either the investor or the business owner categories. So started out when I was just finishing high school with something that had low barriers to entry, and figured I start an import-export business. So discovered in my local market at the time, I was living in Toronto, Canada, in a small suburb of Toronto, and I discovered a lot of people around me needed specific ethnic, Asian, African, other very specific foods that, where people where they're from, foods that belong to that place. So figured out there was a need for that and contacted companies there and started an import-export business.
Okay, so what was your very first, I don't mean to jump in here, but what was your very first business? What would that's called? I mean, what did it do in layman terms? What did it do, and how did you get to that point being your first business?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. It was something I started, literally over a weekend. I had no business experience. All I knew was I wanted to start a business. So I walked into a few stores to identify what customers really wanted. I asked the store owners, and from there, one thing led to another. Opened a business, made a few phone calls. The things that I noticed people might not do nowadays. A lot of people are hesitant to make phone calls, and sometimes a simple thing like picking up the phone, picking up the Yellow Pages, looking at the exact person that you need to connect with and connect to them is all it is required sometimes. A little catalyst just like that. And so that simple move, me walking in to a grocery store down the street to figure out what people were asking the grocery store owner, what the things were being requested again and again, what was in shortage, was how I discovered, okay, there's a need. I need to be a problem solver. And that's the problem I decided to solve.
Boom.
And so I think it comes down to a central theme of entrepreneurship, which is the ability to solve problems. And I think it all stems down from there, no matter what business a person has, which industry they operate in, what products or services or goods that they offer. The key, I believe, and from my personal experience, comes down to solving a problem effectively, profitably, if that makes sense, on all sides, and in a way that's trustworthy, right? That people feel good about it.
Very, very powerful, Steve. So I want to back up something that you said, and which I think is incredible, and I don't want you to lean over this, but I want to break it down in layman terms, because we have listeners from all over the world, from Germany to Brazil, to London. We have people in Africa and a lot of people in the U.S. So here's my question. I want you to go back to the point, because I think you kind of eased over it. And my audience, I want you to take them inside your head for a second, but keep it in layman terms. What you said, problem solving, which I teach entrepreneurs around the world that the bigger the problem you solve, the more benefit you will give to others and to yourself. What was the deciding factor that made you decide to walk in a grocery store versus walking into a shoe store versus walking into a clothing store? What was that deciding factor when you was looking for that first problem to solve?
That's a really good question, because I asked myself that question. That was the first question I asked myself when I walked out of the seminar. Okay, I wanted to open a business. Well, what business should I open? And as an 18-year-old high school graduate, I just graduated high school, I didn't really have any money. I had part-time jobs at the time. I didn't really have any specialized skills. Internet was not as sophisticated as it is now today. So advertising and marketing and getting into things that younger people are able to now was not an option. So it was a tough decision. And I think the process of how I ended up walking into a grocery store was to really think about what is the day-to-day problems that people have. And I started just around where I lived at the time. It was my community around me. I wasn't looking to solve a world problem. I just wanted to solve a small problem for somebody around me that could think of me and say, hey, this guy solved my problem. That was my first step, a small problem, one small step at a time. And in my community, close by, there was a grocery store. I figured I'd stop there. The business owner, the grocery store owner, I knew him. So let's get it from the horse's mouth, as they say. What are people looking for? What are they missing in your store? And that's sort of the whole process. So I think getting information from the market directly is key to this whole process. You know, focusing on the problem rather than trying to build solutions first, focus on the problem first and then cater your solution to that specific problem rather than the other way around.
You know what I like about that story that you just told, and for my listeners, this is what I like about that story. You started right where you were. And that's what I tell entrepreneurs a lot of times. Start where you at. You know what I mean? Your neighborhood, your localhood, your, you know, what you know. You started exactly where you are. You didn't go some far off place and say, okay, how could I solve y'all problems over here? You say, how can I solve a problem in my local grocery store? And I think that's important. When people are looking for, maybe there's people that are listening that want to start a business and don't know where to look. What if I ask you for two tips on how they can find what problem they need to solve? Because I like to address it this way. What problem are you solving? Because one thing I know about the market, if the market doesn't need what you're offering, your business will fail. It's just that simple. Correct. Because the market is not asking for it. So you have to find the problems that needs to be solved. What would you, to, if I ask you two tips that entrepreneurs listening that want to start a business, what would be those two tips?
So that's a really good way to go at it. I think the first thing would be to do a little bit of research, not being hasty, not being, don't jump ahead of the gun because you want to open a business, because you want to be an entrepreneur, because the gold, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow seems closer than you think. Those are all fancy things that are being talk to us. You know, so start at the basics. Go online. Everyone has a computer. It's, you know, an incredibly powerful piece of technology that the average person, little kids, my 2-year-old daughter knows how to go into my phone. You know, and so a really powerful piece of technology in our hands. Go to Google, go to the different sites, go to professional websites, go to encyclopedias, and do a little bit of research. Go to blogs and find what people are talking about. So I'm sure all of the listeners are in some sort of social media group, or maybe they follow different websites online, or they see comments and whatnot. What I do when I'm creating businesses, and this is the one thing I do over and over again. I've created over 10 of my own businesses now and helped, you know, over 5,000 people create businesses. And the thing that somebody can do today, you know, after the show or during the show, for example, a simple thing is to go and read what people are writing, what comments are people writing about when you see the ads and whatnot, right? Which are the ads, for example, on Facebook, let's say, which ads are popular? How are people commenting them? What are they commenting about? So that tells you right away what triggers, you know, what's being triggered in somebody's mind. What are they thinking about? What is their pain point? And so that's a good way to identify right from the market. Another really simple way that I use, and I think this is very useful to create a business that is, I'm going to use the word evolving. Right? Business happens at the speed of light. Things change every single day. A technology that was hot yesterday to disappear today.
Mm-hmm.
And so as business evolves, what entrepreneurs need to do is empower themselves. So you need to constantly do research. You need to be testing different models. You need to get information from people, your prospective client themselves. And so a simple way, another way to do it is to hold simple surveys. Ask people directly. Start with your friends and family. For example, if you're a B2B, business-to-business, business owner, so you're serving other businesses, then I'm sure you have a family member or a friend who has a business. Ask them, what are some of your pain points? Start from there. So instead of formulating fancy theories about programs and creating, you know, $100,000 or $10,000 products, find out what a business owner really wants and just start within your own network on Facebook, within your friend circle, at your workplace. And I think those are two really good ways to sort of pinpoint what the problems are in the marketplace and how you can devise your message to cater to that specific problem so that your audience who is looking for a solution can see your message. They can trigger that particular message, triggers an emotion in them, and they can look to you to say, hey, he's the problem solver. And deep down as entrepreneurs, look, that's what we are, right? We're in business because we solve problems. We're innovative. We think out of the box. We're creative. All those are great, but don't forget to do the research. Otherwise, none of those things are going to be put to use.
Very, very powerful. Just in case you're joining us, you are listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And we are talking to Mr. Sid, the attorney for entrepreneurs. And we'll be right back after this short break.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Major key alert.
Don't ever play yourself. Life is like school. You will be tested. So pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com.
Stay focused. Now that's a major key alert.
Brought to you by Get Schooled and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing brings a bigger smile to my face than cooking up a big meal for the whole family and lots of friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in our country who struggle with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids. But they can't do it without your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it we locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Kaboom.
That is so awesome.
Thank you. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And you know we bring the best of the best when you get on this show right here. Today we have Mr. Sid, attorney for the entrepreneurs. You hear what I'm saying? And he is dropping some knowledge on you. His whole life has been to help entrepreneurs, you know what I mean? And this is probably the man you need in your corner. Mr. Sid, let's go back to something I said now. You know, I've taught entrepreneurs all my life, from doctors, lawyers, to brain scientists. And one thing I've known when people are starting a business, most have a problem doing this very simple task, getting started. How does the everyday entrepreneur just get started? Because too many times they're waiting till they get enough money. They're waiting till they get enough product. They're waiting till they get enough of this or that. And then they end up not getting started. How in today's 2018 do entrepreneurs get started?
No, I think that's a really, really good question that you bring up. And, you know, in fact, that's something that I see in my law office every single day. People who come here, even sometimes who have started the wrong way. And so let's start from the basics. If you're building a business, no matter what industry, what market, what vertical, or even what country you operate your business in, there's certain fundamental rules in business that you have to obey, that you have to comply with, that you have to know as a business owner. Number one is you need to take action. You need to be an action-oriented person, not somebody who just makes 50, 60, 100-page business plans and thinks about it for 2-3 years and raises money behind it and nothing else is happening. You know, a lot of those people come end up in my office too. They come here. It's about taking small, definitive, action-oriented, and measurable. The key word is measurable steps. Because as entrepreneurs, we think that time is infinite, and it's not. Things are happening and changing every single day. And for, you know, by the time the entrepreneur, many of them who want all the perfect pieces in place, right? It's perfection. As entrepreneurs, we think, hey, let's be perfect. Mm-hmm. But you're better off creating a shorter checklist, maybe 3 to 4 things. Tackle smaller things at a time. That's what I do. That's something that I find has enhanced my productivity by not just once or twice, but tenfold. I break down complex tasks into simple, accomplishable, and measurable checklists that I can start in the day and say, okay, every day, these are the things I need to do. And, it, you know, this may seem very basic to, mm-hmm. to somebody listening, but that's all we need to do, right?
Yeah,
keep things basic.
Absolutely.
Keep things simple. Don't complicate it. Just take one small step at a time. Tackle one task at a time. Sure, you need to multitask, but you know, your brain can only process one specific thought at one time. So at that particular time, think about the task you're doing. Once you finish it, maybe you can move on. That's multitasking to me.
That's a good transition to my next question, because one thing I found out with helping entrepreneurs throughout their lives is that a lot of time people don't know how to stay focused. And what I found on it is being able to compound. You can get more done in a short amount of time if you have 100% focus. Okay, so in other words, what I mean by that, and I want you to elaborate on this, I tend to tell people, and what I do for myself, you know, if I'm gonna give a task 90 minutes, and my goal is to complete that task in 90 minutes. If it doesn't complete it, then I will use those 90 minutes, and then I'll may go to something else after those 90 minutes and give that task 90 minutes. What about extreme focus? What advice do you have those people who can't seem to get focused? Because right now, as I said, we live in a microwave society. Everybody wants everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. You know what I mean? It's like, I want it today, and I want it right now. And there's a point of delay, and we have emails, we have phones, we have push notifications on all these devices. You know, how do people get focused in the digital age that we are in right now to make it maximize those minutes in a day? Because here's what I've learned, Sid, that you know, I call it unsuccessful people. They worry about what they get paid an hour. Successful people worry about what they get paid a minute. So they want to maximize that time. How do people get extreme focus and to get more productive and powerful results?
No, I think that's a very important point. And I want to share something that I personally do, and this is something that, you know, what works for me may not necessarily work for everyone else. You have to find your own unique formula, as with everything else in life and business.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that I have tried and tested and I've found to enhance not only productivity and focus, but long-range vision, the ability to think outside of your regular thought process, which I think is a unique skill to develop as an entrepreneur. It gives you the competitive edge in the marketplace. It leaves you with in a position where you're one step ahead of the game at every corner. And it comes back to productivity. How do you maximize the same hours in the day to do what you have to do and also learn new things, as well as be able to, in a way, predict the future, equip yourself for the future? Those are the three skills needed. And so what I do is I break down tasks, my whole day actually, into segments. I break it down into 2 or 3 hour segments. So I wake up early, probably much earlier than most people, around 4:30, but I sleep much earlier, right? I'm in bed by 9 o'clock. So you can adjust the hours based on your day, but break down your tasks in segments of 2 to 3 hours. And so in those 2 to 3 hours, maybe you can pick 2 things that you have on your checklist. We just talked about how you can create a short checklist every single day. So pick 2 to 3 things out of that checklist and tackle only those for those 2 to 3 hours. Once you're done, you're done. You know, what I personally do is I even have a timer. I like to time myself. That way, I'm under pressure. I'm under deadlines. You know, the day is not unlimited. Many entrepreneurs get caught up in day-to-day mundane stuff, and something that should take an hour, I'm sure we've all been there, ends up taking 2 days. And everything else is all of a sudden, we're backtracked, and the checklist is still going, and clients are calling us, and we're behind. And that happens. That's all part of business. But one good way is to just, you know, going back to the simplicity, take one task for whatever, however long you think it'll take. So if you're, you know, if you're creating a social media advertisement and you think it's going to take 2 hours, then time yourself for 2 hours. Write down 2 hours, and that's your deadline. You got to do a hard stop. So it comes back to personal discipline. You have to be disciplined as an entrepreneur. You have to be tactical. You have to be strategic. And you have to be disciplined, right? Otherwise, you know, you're running around doing too many things, wearing too many hats. We all know how confusing and overwhelming that can get. So keep things very simple. Tackle one simple task at a time. And I think that's sort of the one tip I would give people. You know, tackle things one task at a time. Break it down into what suits you. You don't have to work 12, 13, 15 hours a day. The other thing that I also noticed by doing this or working in that manner is now the less I work, the more my business thrives because it's a compound effect, right? If you know where to focus your energy, where to focus your mind, where to focus your investments, and how to compound them, the return, the ROI is what everybody's worried about now, ROI, will be much greater. So you know, really focusing on one project at a time, pouring your resources into that, even if it's for the hour or 2 hours, whatever it is, giving it everything you have is kind of the name of the game. And, you know, some people say this is a marathon or a sprint. I think that might be a good analogy. Think of it more as a triathlon. There's multiple stages, there's multiple layers. It can be a sprint, it can be a marathon, it can be a walk, it can be a hike. It's up to you, right? But make sure that you plan yourself and you pace yourself. Where you need to pick up, you need to pick up. Where you need to slow down, you need to slow down.
Excellent.
But you gotta pace yourself, project forward, and plan backwards so you're not losing gas ahead of time. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. So what we're going to do now as we're getting halfway through this right here, I want to get into some, I call it rapid fire, okay, where I'm going to throw something at you. You're going to tell us what you do about that. You know, we talked about you being an entrepreneur yourself, but somewhere along that line, you became an attorney and you handle some pretty powerful things that most entrepreneurs sometimes overlook until they come upon a problem. So in the rapid fire, I'm going to ask you something about something in business, and then you're going to give me your rapid fire about it. You know, nice, quick, right to the point. If they want more, they can always reach out to you. So we start with rapid fire number one, trademarks relating to the protect of the name of the brand, the name of your product or service, as well as logos, catchphrases, slogans, smells, sounds, other branding aspects which allow you to protect your goodwill and reputation with your customer. How important are trademarks, and do people need to trademark their stuff?
I am so glad you asked me that, because just this morning I had a movie director, unfortunately I can't disclose his name, but I had a very famous movie director in my office with over $100 million in contracts that he already had written, except he's been getting under the wrong name because he forgot to check a trademark. And now he has to go back and restart his entire business from his website to his name, to his bank accounts, and the entire movie contracts because of a simple thing like not checking a trademark ahead of time. So protecting a trademark can be everything. Absolutely required, no matter what business you're in. It costs just a few hundred dollars. So think about it this way. Would you rather spend a few hundred dollars now, or would you rather take the trouble of rebranding your entire business later on because you're violating somebody else's trademark? You're infringing upon somebody else's trademark. That's what I have to leave the audience with. You know, whether consider whether it's worth a few hundred dollars now or your entire brand later on.
That's why this is called rapid fire. That's why we do. Number two, because I'm going through the things that entrepreneurs deal with on that I deal with on a regular with entrepreneurs. So I wanted them to give them insight. If they want more, we're going to let them know how they can reach out to you at the end of this. Let's move on to copyrights. Copyrights needs to be registered to take effect, but doing so allows you to bring, you know, on infringement suit, and generally refers to the creation and protection of original art, graphic design, advertising, photography, written articles, poetry, books, music, audio and video recordings, films, dramatic works. How important is copyrights, and what's the difference between a copyright and a trademark?
Very good question. Let me break down the word, both words for you. Trademark, if you reverse it, it's a mark that you use in trade in the course of your business. So it's an identifier, so there's no confusion of who the supplier of a particular good or product is. Okay, so that's a trademark, establishes who you are in the marketplace. A copyright, again, if you flip the word around, is the right to use somebody else's copy. And copy can be broad, it can be written, it can be video, it can be audio, or any original work. Right? Anything creative, anything original, anything artistic. So almost every single business owner, regardless of which industry they operate in, which legal structure they're operating under, or what financial capacity they're operating in right now, what growth stage, they have copyrights and they have trademarks. If you created anything that's original and you expressed it in some way, on the internet, through a video, through a book, by writing a manual, by writing computer software codes, those are all copyrights. So if somebody wants to use what you have created, they have to get your right to use that copy. So that's what a copyright is. So with that said, yes, you have to register a copyright in order to bring an enforcement against somebody infringing it. Just the other day, I was approached by a very famous coach who travels internationally. He found somebody, one of his clients, who downloaded and used his entire creation. We're talking hundreds of thousands of hours of work that he created, copied, duplicated, sold online, a copycat website. And so all his IP all of a sudden is destroyed. All his work is being diluted. And so that's where copyrights kick in. It's, you know, the unfortunate part is he did not register his copyright. So even though he wanted to go sue a person, which he can, there's specific regulations and restrictions. So what I have to leave the audience is think about this again. What is your business worth? You know, if a few hundred dollars up front to go protect the material that you are creating – the expression of a specific idea that you have expressed, or later on trying to find people who are using, abusing, diluting your work, and then trying to go nail them, grill them later on, and trying to, you know, stop it. So protect your work. It's everything. Everything in your business has a copyright. Everything has a trademark. Protect your work before it's too late.
And last but not least, because I feel these are three things that most people go through. There's plenty of other things that go to, and we're going to show them how they can reach out to you after this. But patents generally relate to the design and the creation of computer hardware, software, tools, machines, instruments, formulas, compounds, system processes, formulations, medicines, unique packaging. What's patent comes as utility design or plant patents. Tell us a little bit about patents and tell us the difference in short form. Listen to what I said, Mr. Attorney, because you know you guys like to talk. So you guys like to talk, but this is only the show is only so long. But tell us the difference between patents. Tell us a little bit about patents and then patents, trademarks, copyrights, sir.
Great. Let's actually start at the top. I think this may give more clarity. Let's start at the word itself, intellectual property. Intellect means something created. It means the mind, right? It's your brain, the intellect. Mm-hmm. So anything created from your mind that can be converted into a property. So property is something that can be given a commercial value and traded among parties. That's kind of what a property is. If it's something of the mind that you created and you can give it an ascertain of value, it's intellectual property. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So starting from there, trademark I just described to you, it's marked used in trade. Copyright, again, it's the right to copy somebody else's original work. Patents come in two forms. It can be design related. So think about a special packaging, maybe like a Coca-Cola bottle that's a very unique bottle shape that they probably patented. Or it can be utility based, which is based on the application, you know, like serving a specific purpose. The light bulb gives you light, so now you can see, right? So that's a very specific purpose. Now, I actually want to talk about an area that most entrepreneurs don't consider, and that's probably why you did not ask me that question as well.
Well, let's complete this process, though. Let's complete these rapid fires here, and then we can move on. Okay, have you completed the rapid fire?
Yes, it's part of the patents is related to that and intellectual property.
Okay.
So patents and trademarks and copyrights, all the intellectual property are contained. These are all called trade secrets. So that's what intellectual property, whether it's patents or trademarks or copyrights, come down to is how you protect them.
So I guess trade secrets would be, to interject here, trade secrets would be similar to the big case that's been out between Uber and Google, you know, that somehow they took their cars that drive by themselves, and that information that's been all over the media lately. And
absolutely,
you know, coming, is that what we're referring to here, sir?
So it's the combination of all the intellectual properties, the combination of the trademarks, the copyrights, the patent that somebody has received from the United States Patent Office. So it's the protection of all those is the trade secrets. All those comprise the competitive advantages of the firm that, you know, in this case, they're claiming somebody else stole them. So that's how all those concepts are tied together.
Very, very powerful. Now we can move on to your trade secrets, which you wanted to delve into a little bit without going too deep. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so essentially what trade secrets are, you know, and sorry for bringing up that earlier, most entrepreneurs, I would say 90 to 95% have the three forms of intellectual property, trade secrets, trademarks, and copyrights, but not patents. Patents are limited to very few people who are inventors or who have a unique design. So really think about trade secrets as anything in your firm that gives you a competitive advantage. A simple thing like a customer customer list of emails, that's a secret that you have that your customer, your competitor may not have. So make sure you protect it. Make sure you put it in contracts, just like copyrights and trademarks.
Mm-hmm.
Protect all those in every contract, every single time, against every party.
Because I recognize how important copyrights was. I come from the music business, so I used to write a lot of songs and a lot of write music and whatnot, and we always had to copyright those the lyrics to the songs and the music. If not, then you know you were open to other people to kind of just get it and do what they wanted with it. So I became with that early, and I realized how important that is. So let me ask you a question, Sid. How did you become the attorney for entrepreneurs?
Very good question. You know, actually, I was an entrepreneur before I became an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I became an attorney after an experience that left me going from, I managed in the midst of my entrepreneurship when I was about 23. I grew a firm from the ground up into a $5 million business. It was a bread and tortilla manufacturing factory.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not think about my copyrights. I did not think about trade secrets. I did not think about intellectual property or contracts. And when my creditor, the person who gave me the machine that operated my entire $5 million operation, went bankrupt, their trustee in bankruptcy seized my equipment. And at 23, I went from CEO of a $5 million practice to bankrupt in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And that's when I decided it's time for me to get empowered with the right knowledge, with the right information, with the right connections, so that this doesn't happen to me again.
So you went from a $5 million company to zero?
In 3 weeks.
Wow. And how long did it take you to build the company, Sid? Because, see, this is the story behind the story. See, this is what people need to know. Because this is the stuff that people see your glory, but they don't really know the story. Now, how do you go from being technically a millionaire, you know, to a zillionaire to a nozaire? I'm just joking right here. But how do you go from all that money to being broke? You know what I mean?
It's something that nobody expects. And this is the mistake that I made. And I'm sure many people are in that boat. And, you know, a lot of times you don't realize it because you're so caught up trying to run your business, trying to get leads, trying to close deals, trying to manage your cash flow. And I did all those things. In fact, I was running this business while I was in university full time.
Mm.
I was running my business full time, morning from 5 to 12 o'clock, and then go to university to study economics till midnight. And even then, I did not know what to protect. I did not know what risks and conflicts were existing in my business. I did not have a fallback strategy. I focused on one source of income rather than spreading and diversifying my risks and my revenue channels. And those are all the things that, even though I was, you know, we were generating a lot of money. This was $5 million of revenue, which by today's numbers, it's a, you know, $20 or $30 million business easily, right? By valuation. And so this was when I was 23. And so as my friends were graduating, they were getting ready to graduate and travel to Europe and Asia, I was thinking about what I was going to do. I just went bankrupt. So long story short, Benny, I ended up without a job. And because I just had my job stripped away from me, I went and joined as a receptionist in the trustee of bankruptcy who was filing my papers. There was a girl, she was pregnant, she was about to leave.
That is wild.
She was leaving, and I went and joined a receptionist position. It was for like $18,000 a year or some ridiculous amount, the guy told me. And out of shame, I was like, hey, I need to do this. But more importantly, that taught me something that I have a huge practice in Manhattan Beach because of that job, that one job.
Mm-hmm.
And it empowered me to do the things that I made the mistakes on.
But that failure, though, I think the most important thing to the story,
yes,
it was that failure that pushed you to go to that job, which then pushed
correct
you to go back to school, I'm
to
assuming, and coming an attorney.
That's
so
right.
That's why the failure is just as important as the success, because I totally believe every time you fail, you're just one step closer to getting it right. Okay.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people think if they fail, it's over. No, it just means what you did wrong. Right. You just have to find the right way to do it. And that is not, it might not work. It's just you have to find the right way to do it. And that's why we spoke earlier about saying that a lot of times people want to bring stuff to market that nobody's asking for. So it's important
that's
to
right
to make sure what that problem is that you want to solve. So it was in that story that pushed you to your glory, and now you've come full circle back to help those, to help those not make those same mistakes. That is
absolutely
where the power is at, my friend. That is where the power
absolutely
is at. Okay.
And it always is. People have to experience these things, the ups and downs of business, of entrepreneurship, to realize, hey, this is one of the toughest jobs in the world,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it truly is, because at every given moment, there are so many forces impacting your bottom line that you don't even know about, and I didn't know about them,
mm-hmm,
and that's what happened.
You know what I find out, Steve, and I'm Steve, I call you Steve, Sid, what I find out is important is that a lot of people will work 10 times harder for other people than they will work for themselves. And my question I want to ask you, how does a new entrepreneur get beyond that? Because like when you work for somebody, it'd be like, you got to be here this time, you got to do this way. You got to dress a certain way. You can't say certain things, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so I always tell people, you know, and this is my words, ladies and gentlemen, not a radio station. This is my word. I always say people are like a job is a jail operating as a business, because they tell you when to do, when to come in, when to operate. They tell you what you can do, what you can't do, how to do it. And if you don't do it, then they will pay check you by taking that pay check away. And that's what they hold over your head. How do entrepreneurs get that same energy when they're going there, work for that 40 hours, and some people do another 40 hours overtime, but when it comes to their own thing, they're lackadaisy about it. Like, you know, oh, okay, I'll do this and whatever. And you can't run a business like that. You got to run a business the same way you ran somebody else's business, because believe it or not, if they're paying you $100,000, you better believe they're making $200,000 off you. Otherwise, it doesn't validate having you there. You understand? Nobody's got you there working for free. You see what I'm saying?
No, that is such an important point. And actually, speaking of, you know, when you said that, it struck a note in me. The reason you said something, if you don't perform, they'll take your paycheck away and check you.
Yeah, they will pay check you. That's what they do.
Right. And you know, that's true at any stage, because the reason I went to a rich dad, poor dad seminar in the first place about entrepreneurship is because my dad walked home, and this was in his 50s, and he's been a senior executive VP of multinationals his whole life. He walked home and said, I just got replaced by a guy half my age who doesn't know even one third of the things I know because he's a younger guy. And that's the moment I decided, you know, I think I need to be an entrepreneur so that can never happen to me again.
Right. And that's what I had to realize, Sid, because I'm telling you, I've been through it. I mean, I've slept in my car. You know
yes
what I mean? I've lived in a house
absolutely
where the floors fell out, all to get to this point where I could call the shots, because I knew it wouldn't work unless I worked for myself. And it was only
absolutely
in that process that, you know, when you go down where you can't go down. Sid, I used to get two pieces of bread and I wish something was in the middle.
We
call
there
that a wish sandwich. So tell
and,
me,
know,
what was the hardest time you had, Sid? What was one? I know going from a $5 million company in 3 weeks back down to almost nothing. In that moment, you could have went either way. You could have said, the hell with this, I'm done. This makes zero sense to me, I'm out. Or you could do what you did, and that was, how can I get back up? And how could I move forward? When people are in that crossroads right there, what was your determining force to move forward? What helped you move forward?
I think it comes down to, again, the number one thing that me personally, what I believe entrepreneurship is about. At its core, it's solving problems, being innovative or creative and solving problems. The companies that people work for are all solving problems. They have products and services to solve problems, right? Multinationals. But as an entrepreneur, you know, your funds are limited, your reach is limited, but you are at the core solving a problem. So what did I do after I went bankrupt and I joined the trustees company as a receptionist? And why did I do that? It's to learn about bankruptcy. It's to learn about the things that I did wrong. And so what did I discover is that there was other entrepreneurs who were making these mistakes again and again and again, hundreds of them. This trustee's office was more packed than anything I've ever seen, which means...
and Sid, I'm curious, what is a trustee's office? I want people to understand that for those that may not know. What is a trustee's office?
So when you typically go bankrupt, or let's you know, when you have a lot of debt that you owe to your credit card companies or your banks or whoever, and you're not able to pay, they'll send you a notice. And once they decide to sue you, you have two options. You could either negotiate with the credit card company and pay them, your creditor, or you go bankrupt. And when you go bankrupt, the person who files the bankruptcy on behalf of the government, who oversees this process, is called a trustee. They take the bankruptcy funds that you pay, and if there's any money, they distribute it to the creditors. So that's what the trustee's job is.
Okay.
So I worked at the trustee's office filing bankruptcy papers. So I knew, and I was able to see exactly where people are making mistakes. So at the root, that was my intention. I wanted to find out why I went bankrupt and why others are going bankrupt. And the best way to see that, as I mentioned earlier, the best way to get feedback is from the market. And the market of bankruptcy is the bankruptcy trustee's office. And the papers are the proof of what people do wrong. Mm. So that's what I read all day long. I, you know, read thousands of those documents. And in 6 months, I was able to figure out the exact places that people were committing mistakes. And I started my bankruptcy practice, helping people solve those exact problems.
That is so powerful, man. That is powerful.
So it comes down to problem solving. It comes down to being aware, I think, right? Not being caught up in trying to, you know, make a sale all the time or which next client is going to come through my door, but being able to really dig down into the higher level purpose of you as an entrepreneur, whatever industry you're in. What are you solving? And then the quest into becoming the best at that, learning more, understanding more, you know, looking for the pure information, unfiltered information. That way you can get it, as they say, from the horse's mouth. The bankruptcy papers that people are filing are from the horse's mouth, like me.
Very powerful. I hope y'all heard that horse. Hey, Sid, we're going to be right back after this short break. Just in case you are listening to us, you're listening to the Benny Randall Show. We're in the final minutes of what was a powerful show. And I want you to go back and I want you to use this episode as a reference. This is not just a show. This is a reference guide to what entrepreneurs need to do. We'll be right back after this short break.
I have seen gods fly. I've seen men build weapons that I couldn't even imagine.
Uh-huh.
I've seen aliens drop from the sky.
Yeah.
But I have never seen anything like this. How much more are you hiding?
Hold up. Let's go, go, go.
We are It is your time.
Show me my respect and bow down.
You get to decide what kind of king you are going to be. Don't freeze.
I never freeze.
The revolution will not be televised.
Show me my respect. And bow down. We own ya. We own ya. We only getting started now. Cause we own ya. You gotta think they know me now. Cause we own ya. You and I my homie. Cause we own ya.
I waited my entire life for this. The world's gonna start over.
I'ma burn it all.
What happens now determines what happens to the rest of the world.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
What's on that forever?
The revolution will not be televised.
Let's have some fun.
The revolution will be live.
Let me tell you something. Sid broke it down. The attorney for entrepreneurs. And what's so great about this story is that Sid had his own trials and tribulations. As you heard, this gentleman went from a $5 million company to zero. And it's a lot of times it's very hard to go backwards when you don't been up on top for a little while. It's very hard to go backwards. So see, that's the beauty of knowing who you need to deal with. And you go through people that have been there and done that, because see, there's something you can never take away from a person. Yes, there's people who have former education, but I think Sid's greatest education was the experience. It was the experience of knowing why things happen when they happen. And to him, it was almost like a scientist. He fell into bankruptcy, and then he decided to go work for the bankruptcy. That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is simply amazing. That's called getting back up. Find out what I did wrong so I can do it better. And on top of that, I can help others. Sid, we're getting down to the last few minutes. What would you like your legacy to be, Sid? What would you like your legacy to be?
You know, it's a great question. And I think, you know, the question of legacy comes down to a couple of different things, but it also comes down to one central thing, and that's not just what you want to be remembered as, but what difference did you make? Ultimately, that's what legacies are built on, right? What difference did you make? What have you contributed? What have you changed? What perspective are you able to change of somebody else's? And that's what legacies are built on. And I think for me, it's about empowering people to make the right moves ahead of time, in real time, so that they're not caught behind making mistakes. And also, a big part of this goes into being real with yourself, realizing for yourself, who are you? Who am I? What would I like to do? And the moments of realization, like the bankruptcy story I just told you and shared with you, many people wouldn't share that. As an attorney, to admit that I went bankrupt, you know, I'm sure there's attorneys out there or others who went bankrupt who never admit it. But it's about being true to yourself, being real with yourself, being real with others. When I tell my story to my clients, they almost instantly sign up because they know that I get it. Mm-hmm. I've been there. This is a real story. So when you think about your legacy, I want you to think about what you as a person, who are you? What do you personally believe in? What do you want to solve? And I think going after that will be in the long run much more lucrative and profitable. And also in terms of a legacy, will you'll be able to preserve your legacy than focusing on what's the new shiny thing in the market right now.
Very powerful. Sid, for those, before we get off here, we'll be remiss not to talk about your new powerful show, Entrepreneur Empowered on Bashani Radio. Tell us a little bit about this and what people can learn from this. And after that, tell people where they can reach out to you. They have questions. They maybe want to hire you, et cetera, et cetera. Let's start with Entrepreneur Empowered, sir.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity, first of all, to be able to express my thoughts on entrepreneurship at my own show. The whole show is about breaking down the myths, breaking through the fancy schmancy presentations that we're pounded by day in and day out by marketers, whether it's through phone calls or emails or social media, by all the things that we have been told what to do, as though there's only one way to be successful. It's about breaking down those myths so that normal, regular, average entrepreneurs like you and I group, you know, can have a chance to access. It's not about information, but it's about access. Anybody can get any information that they want. You go on Google, whatever you type up, you can get it. But nobody needs that. They need access to the right information, the right tools, the right strategies, and also the right individuals that can help them execute those things properly. And so that's what Entrepreneur Empowered, not just the show, but the whole community. I'm building an entire community around it so that people can get unfiltered, can get real data, real answers from the experts themselves in real time. So it's a community that combines application-based learning, not things that you'll never use, but things you can use right away in your business that day itself. So real templates, practical strategies, checklists, training sessions, a combination of all those that they can use, number one, to learn and empower, and number two, professionals who are there to answer questions. I don't think there's anything like that in the marketplace. And so again, it's about solving a problem. And I created Entrepreneur Empowered so that I can solve people's questions in real time on air. When they come, they can go online, submit a question. I'm going to do the research. I'm going to find the expert who has the answer and answer that question in real time.
All right. So if people want to be a part of that community, how do they get to that community? Is that a Facebook community? How do they get to there?
It is, yeah. It's a Facebook community. I'm building a website around it. They can go to entrepreneurempowered.org, O-R-G. It'll take you directly to the Facebook page. Go ahead, join the community, introduce yourself, ask a question that you have. It's all about giving you direct answers, solving problems in real time. So once again, it's entrepreneurempowered.org. And that will take you to the Facebook community. You can see all the links and everything else on there itself.
Very powerful. Do you have is that a regular Facebook page, or is that one you have to jump into it? It's Facebook.com groups. Oh, okay. I'm clicking on that. You join the group and you can go from there, right? Cool.
Correct. Yeah. Right now we just forwarded for the easy access for listeners. We forwarded the domain name itself to the website, to the Facebook page. But if you're able to go anywhere and type up Entrepreneur Empowered, whether it's on Facebook or LinkedIn, in fact, we even created a WhatsApp group called Entrepreneur Empowered. What better than having the phone number of the person who can help you solve a problem in your phone?
Very, very powerful. Now is that your only Facebook page, or do you have one that's just straight out where you don't have to join to? Or is that your only one, or which one? That's the one you want to lead everybody to, correct?
Correct. That way we can all be collaborative as a community. We can know who else is here. We can solve problems. We can all interact and solve each other's problems. It's about pitching in and solving each other's problems. And so I think Facebook communities, it's about, you know, using technology. Facebook is probably the most robust. Go ahead and join the groups, Facebook groups, Entrepreneur Empowered, or even Facebook page.
Yeah, you got a Facebook page also, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, you know what we'll do? We'll make sure that, those links are put on your regular page.
Great.
All right, you know, of your Empowered Show page, so we'll make sure that's on there. All right.
So, yeah, listeners can have a chance to do that.
Yeah, they have a direct link to you and all that you offer. Sid, I got to tell you, I am absolutely humbled by the great information that you shared and your passion for wanting to help. And I think what people will discover in this interview and should empower them to go to the other ones is that you're a regular guy. You had regular problems. And I think a lot of times people are a little intimidated when somebody says, I'm an attorney, or et cetera, et cetera. But I think in this interview, you've shown that you're very approachable. You've also shown that you're a type of individual that allows, you know, that had the same problems that other entrepreneurs had a lot of times. You see what I'm saying? I mean, going from that point to that bottom point, man, I mean, people need to know that. And I thank you for coming on this show and sharing with my humble audience. So I want you guys to go to that page. We'll make sure it's on their page so you can have a direct link to his Facebook page and his Facebook group so you guys could join, share, and even if you just want to sit there and hear what he's talking about on the regular, that's good. But make sure you check out his show. Is that every Wednesday, correct, Mr. Sid?
Correct. Every Wednesday, I believe it's at 12 o'clock.
At Bashani Radio.
On Bashani Radio.
Yes, sir. Your final words?
Yeah. Final words. I mean, look, if you're an entrepreneur, don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, that's how you learn. That's one of the number one things that I see holding back entrepreneurs is the thought of a failure. What if I lose a little bit of money? What if I lose this? Will I be embarrassed? Well, you know, is it a shocker? Am I shameful? Who cares? Do it. Henry Ford was, you know, a bankrupt many times, right? All these rich dudes that you talk about, the leaders, the global personalities, all had their wins and losses. Mm-hmm. It's all part of life. It's all part of entrepreneurship. Go for the kill. And in the process, you'll develop your own killing mechanism.
There it is. Entrepreneur Empowered with my man, Attorney for the Entrepreneurs. First name, Sid. Last name, I don't want to chop it up, but Pedinti. Is that correct?
Pedinti. That's Pedinti. Correct.
I'm so sorry. That's why I try to stay away from the names I'm going to chop up. So, but I appreciate you. All right. So make sure you guys go over to his Facebook page and his Facebook group. I just went over there. It says pending. So eventually he's going to let me in. So, you know, we'll go from there.
Great.
Well, Sid,
thank you, Benny.
Thank
for
you
having me on the show.
Thank you for being here, my friend. And, for all of those listening, just remember this if you didn't learn anything else, and that is it's all possible. And it is in your story where your glory is at, as you heard with Mr. Sid, you know, being on top and going back down to the bottom and then pulling himself right back up. That lets you know that it's never over until you stop breathing. Okay. As long as you can remember that, you are on your way to success. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. You can join me right here every Friday on Bashani Radio. Just me, you, and about 2 million of my friends, all right? We will see you next week live from New York City. Remember, like I always say, I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
I love the Benny Randall show. Yeah, I love the Benny Randall. Thank you for listening to another great episode of BashaniRadio.com. Make sure to like Bashani Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. All of our social media connections are located on BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything.